Enjoy the film.
You want butter on your popcorn?
The theater will be ready in a second. Greg, you're actually back here today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't say my name too loud.
Oh, okay. So this isn't permanent. I was wondering. I was like, I saw you like taking a bunch of stuff out the front door today, and I was wondering if that was like your stuff or.
Well, I mean, it's mine now. Yeah. I was just gathering my things and slowly making my move elsewhere.
you applied for other jobs yet, or?
Yeah, how's the job search going?
It's going. I it's certainly not done yet, but yeah, it's a work in progress. It's taking its time. I'm taking my time. I'm letting things run their course. I haven't applied for anything, have you? I have not. No. But I'll get to it. I'll get to it eventually.
Your shirt is torn, and you've got a lot of just like kind of dirt on you. You look sort of like a...
Are your pants inside out?
Well, yeah.
Has it been a rough week for you, Greg?
Well, I wouldn't say a rough week. It's been difficult. Yeah, it's been difficult. It's been rough. Yeah, it's been a week.
I mean, you still live at the same apartment. You still have access to all your clothing, and I mean, nothing has changed that would cause you to look so disheveled.
Well, that's the thing. This is just my bad habits coming to haunt me, because I haven't been washing my clothes.
For how long? Just this week?
Ever.
What?
I just don't wash my clothes. I since I had a steady income, and I don't know how to wash clothing, I've just been buying new clothes. So now it's rather difficult. Whereas I do have in-unit washer and dryer, they're occupied. So,
what?
Occupied?
Yeah, they're
Is that
they're
underneath
up.
Your shrine?
Yes.
When we were over there, there was like a big pile of clothes, and then kind of like a... It was like, I don't even know how to describe it. It looks like a shrine.
Very astute observation. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't really call it a shrine per se, but I'm not quite sure what other word to use. It does pay homage, a tribute to one of my heroes, Dame Judi Dench.
You just set her framed photo on top of a big pile of laundry.
Yeah.
It's not going to clean your clothes, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I never
I mean,
learned
this,
how to...
This checks out because, I mean, the last time we heard about you with messy clothing, you had shit yourself in the theater and you just left your pants there, so...
There you go. Yeah, so I put my pants inside out because that way I can get twice the wear out of them before I need to throw them away. You know? Waste not, want not, am I right?
I want
Sounds
you
like
to get more clothes. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, don't. But yeah, I appreciate you guys still letting me hang out here.
I mean, you just showed up.
Well, I mean, thanks for just letting me show up,
I guess. You said I need to get my things.
Yeah.
And then you spent most of the day just kind of just avoiding Lacey, really. That was...
Yeah. I do have worries of that, because she does have the power to just throw me out. But I do have a failsafe, and it is this.
That's a disguise? Are
it's
you
a fake mustache?
Uh-huh. Pretty real, huh? Pretty realistic, isn't it?
Okay, you know, like,
this was
why you got fired, right? Was because she saw you on the security cameras?
Yes.
So
I tried to get the tapes, and I thought I did, but then I went home, and I watched the tapes, and they were just reruns of Hogan's Heroes, the television show from the...
So you don't think there are tapes, or you think...
I do think there are tapes.
So you got these tapes from the security office?
Yeah. I think the security guard is watching Hogan's Heroes in the security office.
Well, I guess just hope Lacey doesn't recognize you with a mustache.
Yeah. I doubt she will. This is a very realistic mustache. This was my father's mustache.
It's a different color than your regular hair. But...
Wait, this was your father's...
What? What was that?
This is your father's mustache?
Yes.
This is not purchased from a store or...
Why would I purchase a mustache from a store? What kind of store carries human hair for people who need it?
How did you get access to your father's...
Is he still alive?
I hope he's still alive, or did
you
steal this off his...
Yeah, he's still alive. I'm personally convinced he can't die.
I mean, at this point,
yeah,
he's...
I mean, honestly, though, he
ancient,
is.
But...
It was given to me. He gave it to me.
He gifted you his mustache?
Yeah. Great guy, that.
It's such a weird family.
Thank you. But yeah, so if somebody comes in, I'm just going to whip this on and I'll change my voice a little bit.
Give us an example.
Sure. Okay, let's... Okay, we're talking about a movie. Hey, we're...
hey, Greg, you know you're not supposed to be here, right?
Ooh. I'm not Greg.
Wow, you sound just like him, though.
Yeah, and it took a lot of effort to get the mustache on there. You're really patting it onto your upper lip.
It's actually... It's falling off, right?
It fell off. Yeah, almost immediately.
Okay. Well...
Sorry. I just want to be sure it's secure, you know?
You know, just don't bring attention to it and maybe no one will notice.
I do have a hat. Very convincing hat.
Honestly, that's a better disguise than the mustache.
Yeah, just putting on the hat.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I also do have sunglasses.
Those are just regular glasses. Oh, they're bifocals.
Uh-huh. I mean, I don't wear... Greg doesn't wear bifocals.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
I would have noticed the distinction.
Mm-hmm. I would have thought, is that Greg? Oh, wait. Yeah. That guy's wearing bifocals. Yeah, couldn't exactly. be.
It couldn't be Greg. Also, I have a scarf.
Got a hat on, too. Okay.
Also, you didn't change your voice.
Also, I have a mask.
How are they going to see the mustache under the mask?
Yeah.
What if they remove the mask?
You know what, Greg? You've thought this through entirely. This is
yeah. I'm a planner.
You did say you had a foolproof plan. So
I'm a planner. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we should just try to bang this out real quick.
Yeah, I guess before someone catches us here.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to Breaker Met the Cineplex.
Hey,
my name is Kyle.
My name is Greg.
I'm Henry Harrison.
And we're going to review a movie. This is, we got another listener-suggested film.
Mm-hmm.
So let me just...
By whom? From whom? With whom?
Let me pull it up so I can read their name. We got one from...
Let's hope it's easily pronounceable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apologies again. Last week.
Miguelon?
Not last week. Several weeks ago. I don't know how
Miguelon Vespatenta.
We've already butchered it once. So let's let it be.
Well... Maybe we're closer this time.
All right, this is a tweet from @JacksonSwim.
JacksonSwim.
And they say, at Cineplex Podcast, finally caught up. I think you guys should review The Old, The Older, and The Whippersnapper. There's a lot to unpack.
Yes, there was a lot to unpack.
Thank you, Jackson.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jackson Swimmer. Jackson Swims. Swimmy boy.
Jackson. Swimmy boy Jackson.
Swimmy boy Jackson. That's what we call him. We go way back.
So we watched the
Whippersnapper.
And the Whippersnapper.
The Old, The Older, and the Whippersnapper. Thank you, Jackson. That was fantastic. And yeah, there was a lot to unpack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was like a buddy road trip comedy movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Of these three guys on a wacky road trip.
Yeah, a little wacky road trip.
Three generations of a family.
Yeah, starring Shia LaBeouf, Robert De Niro, and Christopher Plummer.
Yes,
I found it interesting that they decided to use somebody in their 30s now for the Whippersnapper.
Right.
Yeah.
It was an interesting choice.
It was an interesting choice. He did a good job.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Shia LaBeouf.
So the film. Opens on the two older gentlemen, Robert De Niro and Christopher Plummer,
mm-hmm.
and they are in their garage, and mm-hmm. they're kind of tinkering around with an old car.
It's like a jalopy. It's right. Like
a jalopy. And Christopher Plummer is saying, well, it started up yesterday, and Robert De Niro is saying, Dad, I don't care if it started up yesterday. This is an old-as-fuck car.
It needs to start today. It
needs to start today. We've got places to go.
And they're kind of detailing the trip that they're planning on taking, like mm-hmm. a father-son road trip.
Yeah.
And it may possibly be the last time, you know, they're able to do this.
Sure. Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of emotional weight on this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Christopher Plummer is saying, I have to see the Grand Canyon. I have to see it before I die.
And so that's when you hear this, like, thumping bass outside and this car screeches up. And out steps Shia LaBeouf, and he's wearing like a pizza delivery boy outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's just come from work. Mm-hmm. And you get the idea that, like, because they're immediately like, oh, great.
Yeah. Oh.
He's here,
there
you know.
He is.
Jimmy is his name, his character's name. And so we get the idea that Jimmy is sort of a screw up. He's sort of a burnout.
Yeah. Especially because he walks up and says, "Well, I was fired again." then he storms inside.
With the pizza in hand, because he didn't deliver the pizza, which was the reason he was fired.
There you go.
Right.
But they kind of are left in the garage to talk amongst each other, and mm-hmm. they're like, you know, we got to teach him some manners to respect, you know, people and exactly. elders especially, because we're really old. And so...
Robert De Niro's, because I'm old, you're older, and he's not as old as us.
And so they have like a short discussion, like, all right, which one of us is going to talk to him? It's like, you know, you're his dad. And it's like, you're his grandpa. And he's like, well, that doesn't mean anything. So Robert De Niro goes in and talks to his son. And like, he finds him up in his room. He's blasting some music in mm-hmm. his room with the door mm-hmm. closed.
Some Rage Against the Machine.
Mm-hmm. So he knocks Good gently stuff. And then he just kicks down the door. And he starts right off the bat. He's just like, you need to respect your elders. And Shia LaBeouf's just like kind of cornered. He's like, whoa, dad, like, you can't just bust in like that.
I was doing something.
He sits him down. He's like, we need to have a father-son talk.
After screaming at him.
He starts at like a 10 and then brings it way down.
Right back down.
That's right.
This is
a common occurrence for them. Mm-hmm. We can just tell right off the bat. This is like their dynamic.
Well, there's a lot of his door has just like all duct these dents in it, and
he's very easy to kick it because it's not on the hinges anymore.
It's been kicked off its hinges a long time ago.
So yeah, he sits him down and he's like, "Hey, look, here's the thing. You need to respect your elders. You need to respect other people.
You live in this household with me, your elderly father, and your elderly grandfather. You, a 30-year-old man.
Exactly. You need to learn things about life, and I think that we are the ones to teach you. So you're coming with us on this road trip.
What do you say? You want to see the Grand Canyon?
And Shia LaBeouf is like, why would I do that? I can see it on my phone. I can just bring up Google Images. You old dummy.
And he's like, this is exactly what I'm trying to tell you. You need to respect me a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. We don't.
You're going
very
on this
well.
Road trip.
You're coming with us. We need to learn how to connect with each other. We need to bond. We need father, son bonding, grandfather also bonding time.
And they do that sort of classic comedic cut where Jimmy goes, "There's no way in hell this is happening." Hard cut to them on the road. Jimmy's in the back
Jimmy's
seat,
in the back.
Just sort of pouting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're rumbling along the road in their little jalopy, which they got started.
Which they did get
presumably.
Started, which was good. But we can tell by the sound of it that it's not running very well.
Yeah, it's not long for this earth.
Foreshadow that might bring in some plot later on.
Imagine that, a road trip movie with car trouble.
Who'd have thunk it?
So they are off on their journey, and mm-hmm. they're like, right away, the grandpa, what was his name?
Milton.
Milton is like, I need to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, we've been on the road for 15 minutes.
We
can't
haven't
you
even
hold
gotten
it?
Out of Pennsylvania yet.
He's like, didn't you go at home? He's like, yeah, I did. I held it as long as I can. We got to stop right now. So they pull over to the side of the road. They find a rest stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the father and the son in the car. And mm-hmm. the grandpa's off going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I know your grandpa's like really old. Mm-hmm. So.
And he's not getting any healthier. Or younger.
So listen, like, this could be the last time that we experience like something like this together. Mm-hmm. Like, really, you need to value these moments.
Yeah, and I urge you to reach out to your grandfather. Reach out and find out anything about his life. Just you know, anything at all. And it'll really... And he turns around and Shia LaBeouf has his headphones on and he's looking at his phone and not even paying attention to anything.
So he reaches, he just lifts one of the earphones off. He's like, Jimmy. And Jimmy's like, what, dad? What do you want? All right. And he's like, listen, this is the last road trip that's ever going to happen.
This is it.
He goes right? through it again. He goes
he just does it
whole,
one more
yeah.
time.
A little bit louder and a little, like, he brings it up to about a six.
Yeah.
So then grandpa comes
Milton
back.
Milton comes back. And they start driving down the way and Jimmy, like, just a little bit of silence. Milton's rummaging with like a newspaper or something. What was Robert De Niro's character's name? It was Charles. Charles looks in the rearview mirror at Jimmy. Jimmy looks back at him like with a, what? And Charles is doing one of those, you know, come on, go for it.
Yeah, like...
gesturing with his head. He's like...
talking
on,
with his eyes, God, you know.
Go, son of a bitch, boy. And Jimmy, he's...
Jimmy goes, all right, hey, Grandpa, And right then, Milton goes, "How about some music?" And he pulls out a like an old phonograph, and he starts cranking it. And
it's a jalopy,
right? There's
doesn't
no
have any sound system in there.
Nope. But they have a phonograph in this in the glove box,
right? Because I mean, there were huge glove boxes back then. I don't
very
know.
Huge glove. Mm-hmm. Everything was bigger back then.
So he starts playing music, and Charles is like, kind of rolls his eyes, like, "Well, I guess Jimmy tried." And Jimmy just goes right back to, mm-hmm. to like ignoring him. So they're on their way, mm-hmm. Listening to music, heading down the road.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of follow. We kind of have this shot of a map and a little red dot as they're going down the way.
Mm-hmm.
They get out of Pennsylvania, and then it's nighttime.
Right. 'Cause they use the music from the phonograph, mm-hmm. to score this montage. So they've got this one, like, as it's traveling along. And yeah, sunset, and they end up at their first hotel, which is this like real dumpy looking spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stop there for the night, and there's kind of like this weird, I don't know how to describe it, but basically they're entering the hotel, and they kind of see like the seedy neighborhood that they're in. Like they see like there's like, you know, women of the night out on the street. There's like, you know, there's some sketchy stuff going on out on the street.
Just drug deals in all
very
directions.
Blatantly happening.
Right.
Like some guy just walking around with a
brick of cocaine.
And he's like, "Hey, cocaine, get your cocaine here."
And Jimmy's like kind of taken aback. He's like, "Whoa, like you just took me to this motel. Like,
how much for the cocaine?" Charles's like, "No, we're not getting cocaine.
We're not doing that." And that's when Milton's like, "Well, back in my day,
yeah,
this was total. This was
this
the normal.
Was everywhere. Yeah. It was in our beverages."
Mm-hmm. And Milton says to Charles, he says, "This is the last road trip I'm ever going to go on. Let me bond with my son. Let's get some cocaine.
Let's bond over
Let's
a
bond
little
over
crack
some cocaine." And so Charles, he begrudgingly, he's like, "Oh, okay, but not too much."
So cut to Milton and Jimmy in their hotel room, because they have two rooms. And Charles is like, "Listen, you're gonna sleep next to your grandfather, because this might be the last opportunity you have to share a bed with your grandfather in a dumpy hotel." And so,
which is wonderful. It's very beautiful. It's,
all right, y'all. You need to cherish this.
You need to cherish this.
So they're sitting cross-legged on the bed, doing coke.
Milton says, "Now I haven't done this in a while, so I'm just going to start off with just one. All right, just one cocaine." So he snorts it up, and then he cuts out Jimmy a little bit, and Jimmy snorts it up.
And Milton's like, "We should start a business together."
And they like. Visually, that they don't seem to change at all. That like visually, that they're Milton's just like, "We should totally start a business." And Jimmy's like, "That's a very good point. We should start a business." And then they just start talking about business plans and everything, and it's all very normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then cut to Charles in his room, and he's lying in his bed, eyes wide open, and from the other room we hear just screaming.
Just wordless,
and just crashing,
words,
and just
screaming,
some banging on the wall,
mm-hmm.
And he's a little concerned, and
just a little bit,
but he doesn't do anything about it. He waits until the morning,
yeah, exactly,
because he's like, "Listen, this is the last time that Jimmy's gonna have a chance to do cocaine with Milton,
mm-hmm.
And to just have a coked out, rage filled evening,
so he lets it go, and we know that he lets it go the entire time because there's a little time shift there, and suddenly it's morning, and we hear in the other room, like it's devolved into just sobbing, just weeping, weeping and sobbing, and them telling each other that they love each other, which is nice,
it's
sweet.
Yeah, it's
so Charles gets out of bed, and he kind of walks over to their hotel room right next door, and kind of lightly taps on the door, and then Jimmy comes to the door, opens up, his eyes are bloodshot. He looks like he hasn't slept all night. And Charles is like, "Hey, bud, like, you doing all right?" And he's like, "You know, Milton's the coolest, right?" Milton is like my favorite dude. And he's like, "Well, that's good. Like, this is exactly what we came on this trip for. It was a bonding experience together."
And he's saying, "Very good. But you can't just be destroying motel rooms." And he opens up, and it's spotless. Like, everything is put together at right angles. Everything is just gorgeous visually. Cleaned. It was wonderful. And Milton comes out of the bathroom, and he's all ready for the day. He looks completely normal. Just goes out and he's like, Charles, hello, hey, time to go.
Just
huh?
like I remember it. Yeah. So this, so this kicks off another montage. I mean, it's a road trip film. There's got to be driving montages. Mm-hmm. So they're on the road again, only now it's Milton is driving and Jimmy's in the front seat and Charles is in the back. Mm-hmm. And we kind of go throughout the day and we see them to stop. They get ice cream and Milton and Jimmy are eating ice cream together and Charles is in the back, you know, like eating his own. And we get the idea that Milton and Jimmy have bonded through this night of cocaine, mm-hmm. and have kind of blocked Charles out. And Charles realizes that, like, maybe he pushed Jimmy too hard to bond with his grandfather, and now feels like he's lost his connection with his son, what little connection there was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he Jimmy and Milton, they're kind of having a conversation in the front, laughing about something like it's obvious that it's an inside joke. They're like, and then the mini bar, am I right? And they just start cracking up. And so Charles is like, hey, you know, those mini bars are really expensive. You shouldn't be going into those.
And Jimmy's like, shut up, Dad. And Milton's like, shut up, son.
Then they laugh some more and they keep going.
Jealousy is starting to set in for mm-hmm. Charles.
Charles is kind of left in this position. He's like, I need to rekindle this relationship that I have. Like, yeah.
I need to get in there too.
This is a road trip for all three of us. All right. And so he, like, the next stop they make is at a gas station to get some gas. Mm-hmm. And Charles is like, I'm going to go into that store. I'm going to get myself a drink. You guys want anything? And they're like, no, we're good. We're all good. So he goes into the corner store mm-hmm. and he's kind of like going through the aisles, trying to find something that would maybe interest Jimmy or interest, you know, Milton in any sort of way. And that's when he comes upon one of those little sticky hands, the little slapper hands.
Throw it at the wall and it sticks there.
And he's like, well, this is just great. This I'm gonna buy perfect. Three of these. And so he goes and he buys three of those sticky mm-hmm. hands. He comes out and they've taken off. They're no longer at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
They have the left him behind. And
Charles is like, what the fuck? Why would they just do that? That's so shitty. And so he starts to leave the parking lot. And then he hears from behind him, Dad, turns around. There's Jimmy and Milton.
They're like, you were taking a long time in there. So we pulled around and parked right over here.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he was like, oh, I thought the car was stolen. They're like, no, who's going to steal a jalopy? So they get back into the car and they get the sticky hands and they're like, here are the sticky hands. Look, you can throw them at the wall. You can throw them at the window. And look, they stick there for a little bit, but you can pull them right off. And
then yeah, like, it was like, a weird, it was a weird moment in the film where you thought something interesting might happen and then they just completely undercut it.
Yeah. Yeah, so they were like, well, that's a good thing. It's good to know that nothing bad is going to happen with this car. Wink, wink.
And that's, like, Charles is like, okay, I need to obviously step my game up here. Because mm-hmm.
Sticky hands aren't going to do it.
Like, I like sticky hands, but I need to get in the mind of Milton and Jimmy.
Yeah.
They like cocaine. They like, I don't know, weird stuff like that. So I'm just going to figure out, you know, maybe go as extreme as possible and kind of get their attention. Show them, you know, I can hang out with the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the next rest stop, they stop about every 15 minutes because Milton cannot hold his bladder.
He's an old man. He's an
elderly person.
And he goes up to the sketchiest looking guy at the rest stop.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what do you got, man? He's like, I got anything you need.
What do you mean?
He's like, well, give me the hardest thing you got. And the guy's like, okay. And so they exchange. He hands him a little baggie. The guy hands him the money. He's like, how much is that? And he's like 90. And he's like, that seems like a reasonable price.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And he goes back to the car. And Milton comes back to the car. And they're all driving. He's got his little baggie. And he's just not going to tell anybody. This is on the down low.
Mm-hmm.
So they're driving. And they're just kind of admiring the sights. They're going through these rolling plains of just completely flat, really boring.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing the car can drive over. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. They actually had to take the long way around to the Grand Canyon mm-hmm. to avoid any sort of hills. They come to one of the landmarks that they were trying to get to, which was the world's largest flat piece of ground. And they stop there just for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy and Milton hop out of the car. They're buddy-buddy. They're like...
They're skipping away together, right. Arm in arm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this is so flat. Like, this is the
Look
flattest.
Look at how flat this is.
They're like rolling pebbles and just like, yeah, it just keeps going until it slows down. It's not a hill, but it rolls for a little way, is that?
Yeah.
And that's when Charles is like, he whips out the baggie. He's like, hey guys, you know what would make this flat ground even better?
He's like, whatever's in this bag.
What's in the bag? It was $90.
And so he takes a little bit and he rubs it on his gums and he starts to freak the fuck out. Uh-huh. Like he's on like, one.
Yeah, he's just saying this place is so flat. And he's losing his mind. He's like, I've never seen anything so flat before.
And there's kind of that intercut footage of just like what he's seeing versus what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yo, like, calm down, man. Like you're going to be okay. It's just a flat ground.
He's like laying on the ground, like with his head sideways, just looking across how flat it is. And just,
I can see forever.
And they're like, okay, we need to get him in the car and get him out of here because mm-hmm. he's making a spectacle of himself.
And like, there are other tourists around. This is the world's largest flat area.
It's the
like,
largest flat ground.
So this is a popular spot.
Yeah.
So they get him into the car. They kind of have to carry him a little bit because he thinks he's in water and he's trying to swim.
He's trying to swim.
And so they carry him, put him in the back seat of the car.
And he's moving around too much. So they're like, okay, we need to restrain him somehow. So they put him into the glove box. Because this big.
It's a big glove box. Everything was bigger back
then. They
have
to take the phonograph out again, mm-hmm. but they put him in the glove box.
They can fit it in the trunk because the trunk is very large.
The trunk is huge. Like, wow. And so they fit him in there. He's banging around in there. He's saying, why is it so flat in here? Why is it so flat in here? And they start
It's still flat.
Up.
It's still flat.
It's still flat. And Jimmy and Milton, they both jump in. That they're like, he's freaking out. People are starting to notice us. We need to get the fuck out of here.
They try to start the car.
It won't start.
Perfect timing for the car troubles now.
Mm-hmm. And a park ranger comes over.
And he knocks on the window and he's like, are you having any trouble? And they're like, hey, could you give us a push? Our car won't start. And he's like, it's no use here. It's flat ground.
It's flat ground.
There's no way for you to pick up any sort of momentum. And then he hears this knocking and banging around. And he's like, is there someone in your glove box?
Why would there be someone in our glove box? That's ridiculous. And the park ranger says, you know, that's a very good point, but that sounds like a person in there.
I'm going to have to check it out. And so he opens the glove box and he sees Charles in there mm-hmm. and he's freaking out.
Yeah, Charles is freaking out. He's like, who's this guy? Why is his hat so flat?
Yeah, we see it from Charles's perspective and he's like two-dimensional. Like mm-hmm. he's seeing people as these flat figures.
And Charles pushes out of the car and starts running.
Yeah, at this point he's gotten out of his clothing because he's like, my clothes are so flat. So he's just sprinting across this flat piece of land
mm-hmm.
surrounded by tourists who start taking pictures, and it is just a naked
Robert De Niro running across flat ground, and he just takes off. And so Jimmy's like, Milton, you stay here. I'm gonna go get Charles. And so he starts running after Charles, mm-hmm. and Milton's sitting there, and he's still trying to get the jalopy going, but it's just not working.
So he opens the hood, and he's like, maybe I can, you know, Jimmy rig this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Jimmy, on the other hand, is running down on the flat ground. He tackles his father to the ground. He's like, we need to snap you out of it right now. Do you have any idea what you took? And he's like, you are so flat right now. I can't eat. It's so flat. And then,
who thought that $90 could make everything so flat?
He knows exactly how much he spent. And Jimmy is kind of just like, he slaps him in his face. He's trying to get him to come to. He's like, we need to get you some water. We need to get you like some help.
Anything.
Like, and this kind of exacerbates the situation because mm-hmm. getting slapped in the face is not going to help your high regardless of what you took.
Yeah.
And so he gets out, he kind of wiggles out of Jimmy's grasp out of the ground and he keeps running. And Jimmy keeps running too after him.
Right, and behind them is the park ranger also chasing after.
Yeah, the park ranger's also running after.
And he's gotten on his walkie-talkie and he was like, we got some naked guy running around the flat area. And so some yes, more rangers
again.
Start
we
showing up.
We got a code 4-4. Yep. It happened again.
Park rangers coming over and they're on bicycles and they're all coming after.
Which they can make good time on bicycles because, mm-hmm. I mean, this ground
is
so flat.
Ooh.
They're on baby. Their razor scooters.
But you were saying they cut back to Milton at
the
car.
They cut back to Milton, and Milton's looking around. And he's like, oh geez, I don't know much about cars, admittedly. But he's looking at two parts, and he's like, this is supposed to stay on here, but it's not sticking. He's like, wait, the sticky hand. So he takes the sticky hand and he puts it on there, and he jumps back, and it starts up.
And so he starts
taking off.
Yeah, he takes
after
off
him.
After Jimmy and Charles, who and I mean
and
he's
the
able,
park rangers.
Yeah, he's able to pass the park rangers. He mm-hmm. hits one with his car.
Yeah,
but. I mean, while he is going faster than the park ranger, it's still not very fast. It's a jalopy.
Yeah,
so
it's a jalopy.
We cut to the park ranger. He's like, we need, like, on the walkie-talkie on mm-hmm. the ground. He's like, oh, like, I'm down, officer, or park ranger down.
Ranger down, ranger down.
We gotta get these guys before they get to the ravine. And we cut to where the ravine is, which is about a half a mile away from where they're running.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles can see it, and he's saying, it ends! It ends!
It's not flat over there!
And he's very excited. But Jimmy sees this, and he panics. He's like,
holy shit!
Oh no, that goes down
that
there
goes
very
down.
Deep.
Straight down. This area is flat, and then it is incredibly not.
So he kind of tries to he tries to run even faster, but Charles is excited, so he's running even faster,
and,
too.
I mean, whatever he's taken, he is fast.
He is on...
And so Milton
he is on it.
Milton pulls up behind. He
like pulls
up right by Jimmy. Jimmy hops in the car with him and he's like, we need to cut him off before he get there. So they gun it. They're going so fast. They're going like 40 miles an hour.
Yeah,
there.
Pretty mm-hmm. fast for this jalopy.
And Milton has never gone this fast in a car before.
Yeah.
So they're driving and they
and he's
swerve
loving
around.
It, by the way. Milton's loving it.
He's loving every minute of it.
And he also wants his son to
they
be
stop,
I found so alive.
And Charles sees the car in front of him and he's like, it kind of breaks his line of view with the ravine.
He's like, where did it go?
Where's the end?
So they're able to open the door, and he just kind of just runs
his,
head first.
Yeah, his momentum keeps
yeah,
him
he
going.
Yeah, he had such a head start.
And so they close the door, lock it behind him, and then and just kind off. Of peel out.
And as they go, we see several park rangers, I mean, go off into the ravine because the they were also going full speed on their bikes and
I mean,
scooters.
It's flat ground. How are you going to stop yourself?
Exactly. They're trying, but they're just skidding.
They just go.
So they get back on the road, and Charles is kind of starting to come down. He is kind of coming to his senses, and he's like, what just happened? And they're like, you just took off all of your clothes and tried to jump off of a ravine.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I can see the third dimension to things again.
Things have depth.
By the way, Milton's like, your sticky hands, they came in so handy.
They allowed us to save you mm-hmm. from diving headfirst into a ravine. We owe you, and you owe yourself for your life being saved right now.
He's like, ah, I love you, you little whippersnapper, you. And Shia LaBeouf just kind of has that, like, look of, I don't know, it's not pride, it's there's sort of a recognition of his character there, though, where he's like, okay, you went harder than anybody I've ever seen do anything, so, you know, you gotta respect him a little bit.
Look, it was the closest thing to admiration we've seen Jimmy feel
mm-hmm.
towards his dad. So they
and
pull
all
up.
It took was $90 worth of something.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Mm-hmm, that's a good deal.
Whatever was in that bag was worth the $90.
Boy.
So they end up at the next hotel and they get to the front desk and Charles is like, we'll take two rooms, and Jimmy's like, hey, we'll take one room.
And he kind of looks
at they all look
like,
at each other like, and smile and the yeah.
and the last opportunity. the very last opportunity that we'll all be able to share a bed together.
Mm-hmm. And hearing that, the receptionist there, she's like, okay, well,
so
you want
just
one. We have rooms with more than one bed.
Yeah, we can do that for you. And they say, nah, just one, please. and she's like, okay, that'll be $90. And Charles, oh, do you guys have any money?
And they all laugh and they're like, aha, we sure do. And so they pay for the room.
Again,
you think it's going to be a problem. You think you're just going to hit a wall here, but they're kind of smooth it over.
The
real
scene
nice.
Undercuts itself again. And again. Just
so they're in their hotel room that they've rented for the night, and Charles is flushing down the rest of that little baggie down
the
toilet.
Yeah, he's not going to risk
it. This is too crazy. That was insane.
Mm-hmm.
That blew it all my mind.
Yeah, and he's saying that was the most high I've ever been in my life. That was crazy. I was so scared. And Milton and Jimmy are like, yeah, but dude, you went hard. That was awesome.
You almost killed yourself. Coolest thing I've ever seen.
Hey, that's how you know you're having a good time, right? If you almost kill yourself.
There's almost an accidental death and it's your own.
That's a good time, let me tell you. And that's why drugs are cool.
Which really seems to be kind of the underlying theme in this movie.
Yeah, because drugs bring Jimmy and Milton together. Drugs bring Jimmy, Milton, and Charles together.
Mm-hmm. And who knows what drugs will do else in this movie?
Well,
so they all get into bed, and Jimmy says to both Charles and Milton, he says, "I'm really happy that you made me come on this trip. I feel like I'm really getting to know you all. I love you guys." And Milton says, "Why? Well, I love you too. I love you too." And Charles, I love you. So they all go to sleep. Wake up in the morning. They all get their stuff. And they
like, today's the day. We are within range of the Grand Canyon.
We're getting there. And they go outside, and the car is gone again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, no. And there's a little bit of broken glass on the ground.
And a sticky hand.
And they're like, fuck. So they're like, who do we call? We have to call somebody. But then the car drives up, and it's the receptionist gets out and says, hey, I work a car repair shop over there. It sounded like your car was having some trouble, so I broke the window and I drove it over and I fixed it all. I fixed the window all for nothing, for free charge.
You already paid me $90 for the room. It comes with that.
It's all inclusive.
If you look on the sign back there, it says vacancy, free Wi-Fi and car repair.
So they're like, okay, well, that's weird you didn't ask us first, but I mean, I guess that's fine.
I guess, yeah.
They climb in the car and they take off on their way.
Mm-hmm.
They see a sign for the Grand Canyon. It says 12 miles away. And they're like, wow, we're closer than we thought we were. They eventually get to the national park entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And they encounter a park ranger there who is like, We got a notice that you guys were headed our way.
Yeah, the flag outside is at half mast for all the dead rangers.
Dead rangers. And then they're like, how do you know it was us? What? That's terrible. How do you know it was us? Well, it said three men in a jalopy.
And I need to warn you guys, because this canyon is not flat. There's a very large hole in the ground, and I want you to be wary that nobody else lives are at stake here. And they're like, well, that sentence didn't make a lot of sense, but I think I kind of understand what you're trying to say. So
they're like, are we not in trouble for what we did yesterday? And he's like, we have no power. We're park rangers.
Yeah, we're park rangers. What do we look like?
And so they drive to the edge of the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And they are appreciating the view. They're like, wow, it's even bigger and more beautiful than I thought it would
be. It's even less flat than anticipated.
Yeah.
And Charles puts his arm around each of them and is like, I'm glad that we had this one opportunity to do this as a family.
Mm-hmm. Probably the last time.
It's probably the last time. Milton, you're getting up there. You probably don't have long to live. And Milton's like, you're damn right. He's accepted it.
He's accepted it, yeah.
And Jimmy's like, I probably won't last long either with the way I live.
And they all share a laugh.
And then Jimmy's like, all right, it's time to head back. And they're like, all right.
All righty.
Cut to them arriving home safely. No major issues. And then start up another montage. You know, music's playing and everything. And we see Milton in the garage again. And he's working on a car. We can't see what car. And we zoom out and we see, oh, he's working on Jimmy's car instead of the jalopy. And
Jimmy's there.
Yeah, Charles walks in and Jimmy's there. And Jimmy pulls up in the jalopy and he's like, I got a job as a pizza delivery guy. Yeah, the jalopy has one of those like pizza signs delivery, on top. Because even though, I mean, he's changed through this experience, he's not aiming high
in terms of career. It's baby steps.
You know, maybe deliver the pizza this time and then we'll try something.
Yeah, well, he gets out and he's like, I got a pizza delivery job. And he's holding pizza. He's holding and he's like, pizza. Oh, whoops. But they're like, come on in. We're almost done fixing up your car. And so they get in and they've been fiddling with it. And he's like, did it work? And he's like, yep. You now have a glove box big enough to fit in. Yeah. Nothing was wrong with Jimmy's car. Yeah. They were
just putting in a bigger glove box. And
just all, like the good old days.
Just like the good old days. And the horn now sounds like a jalopy horn. It's sort of like the car now represents this generational bridge that has been formed. And Charles walks in with a tray of lemonade and is like, "You want a cold one, boys?" And they
have lemonade. The music kind of picks up and it's just showing them, you know, gathered around the car, pointing at the car, talking about the car.
It's phonograph music again because they replaced his radio with a phonograph.
Exactly,
So keep describing the scene.
And they're pointing, and narration comes up and says, "Milton didn't last very long after that. He only lasted about 5 more summers. And how many times do you think they saw the Grand Canyon in that time?" None. They didn't go back to the Grand Canyon, but they hung out a lot more. Thus is life.
And on the note of thus is life, they fade to black. And the end credits start to roll.
And that was The Old, The Older, and The Whippersnapper.
And The Whippersnapper. A lot to unpack.
A lot of...
Quite a
There's
bit.
There's a lot in this movie.
A lot in that glove box to unpack.
I tell you. I like seeing Christopher Plummer in things.
Yeah, he's old.
He's old.
If he's one thing,
he's old.
It's old.
Let's go ahead and get to favorite parts or characters or lines of dialogue. Any jump out to you guys?
I liked the part where they were pulling into the motel, the first one, mm-hmm. and a woman of the night comes over and she's like, "Hey, honey, looking for a good time?" And Milton says, "Boy, am I." And Charles is like, "No, thank you very much. No, we're okay. Thank you very much." And they just go along their way. The reason I like that
yes, please
is
explain.
Because the woman of the night was Dame Judi Dench.
Your favorite
I fucking love actress. Her. I was so excited. Because she was hardly recognizable. She looked years younger and mm-hmm. had longer hair and was a different body type.
Yeah, it wasn't Dame Judi Dench.
I feel like it was, though.
She just had that vibe about her.
I know. She wasn't even credited.
No, it was under a different name. It was like a 20-year-old woman.
I know. She can do anything. What was your favorite, Henry?
I like that the sticky hand came back into play.
Yeah,
that's a
that
nice
was
little
fun.
Callback.
That was nice.
Yeah.
It was like Chekhov's gun, where it's like, if you see a gun,
it's
going to
be used.
So if you see a sticky hand, it's going to
be used.
It's going to repair an engine.
It better stick things. It
better stick somewhere. I really enjoyed the montage where they were showing. It was a good, like, showing, not telling sort of storytelling in the film. The montage where we were establishing that, like, Charles is on the outs, and he's starting to feel jealousy for the relationship that Milton and Jimmy have created in this one night. Just like the number of things that they show them doing, because I mentioned the ice cream, I think, on our description, but they also like swing by a fair and they're, you know, they're in a Ferris wheel. It's just Jimmy and Milton on one car and then behind them or in one of the, whatever you call the thing that you sit in on a Ferris wheel. And then the next one,
I think it's a car.
I don't know.
Would you call that a car? The wheel thing.
But Charles is in one behind them, and he's just like arms crossed, looking cranky. And
he had to share his with a little family.
Right. They're trying to make conversation with him. They're like, "So, where are you? Are you on a? Are you from around here?" And he's just
on a.
He's not like, saying nothing.
That's my
we're
son.
From San Francisco.
That's my son.
Like, oh, and who's that other one? That's my dad.
That's my father.
They seem like they're getting along well.
You must be very happy.
Yeah. They're not picking up on his tone or body language. But yeah, they see him at the fair. They go to a water park. A lot of them were like amusement park, fair
amusement
type situations.
There was one where they're in a movie theater and Robert De Niro is like 2 rows behind.
Unnecessarily. There were plenty of seats.
Why can't you just sit with them?
He's like, "I want to be in the middle."
Yeah.
And they're like, let's go.
That's my son. Somebody's shushing him.
Milton wanted to sit closer because of the cataracts. And Jimmy was like, I'll sit up front with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, Charles was like, that's too close. That's
They're
my
gonna
son.
Ruin their eyes.
So I enjoyed the that whole montage. I thought it was a good way of showing, like, yep, Charles is on the outs, and he sure doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And in case at that point you'd forgotten, like, what is his relationship to these other characters? He says it many times. That's my son.
Yeah, that's my son.
That's my father. Mm-hmm. So it's a good reminder in case you've lost track.
They're bonding really well. I'm being left out.
Yeah, I said it was a good show, not tell situation, but they were telling us a lot just explicitly.
I guess they were. Yeah. It had, but he said it rather quickly.
They showed by telling.
Yeah.
Yeah, they showed by telling.
He was muttering it sometimes. Mm-hmm. It wasn't always full volume, so.
Yeah. Very good stuff. Yeah, that was a good scene, too. I like that.
Yeah. All right, let's get to ratings.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and start this one off. I'm going to give this... I'll give it a 7 out of 10. I would probably score it higher. The things when they had the potential disasters and then they just sort of undercut all that tension, that didn't necessarily work for me.
Yeah,
but,
I can dig that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel you. And for that reason, I'm going to give it a 6.
Hmm.
The screenplay was just a bit...
A bit hackneyed.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, really kind of... I don't know. It was... building tension and then letting it go. It just, felt like they were just kind of writing this on the fly. Like they weren't even like building their characters up.
Not the highest caliber of films, would you say, Henry?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I'd have to rate it like lower than I normally would.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Probably the lowest you've ever got.
8 out of 10.
Is it a low 8 or a high 8?
What does that even mean?
All right.
I was going to give you an out, but...
I don't need an out. I need an 8.
Ooh.
Sorry, I stubbed my toe a little bit and it felt kind of good.
All right, well, that's the episode. Thanks again to, was it Jackson Swim? At Jackson,
Jackson
right.
Swim.
At Jackson Swim on Twitter.
I wonder how swim he does.
David Schwimm.
David does Schwimm.
Jackson does Schwimm.
Jackson.
Jackson Schwimm.
Son of Jack Swims.
Schwimmy Jackson.
Schwimmy.
Hey, Schwimmy.
Jack Schwimm.
Thanks for sending that in. If you yourself, listener, assuming you're not Jackson Swim, if you would like to send us a movie.
You know what?
I only want
Open it up. Open it up. Jackson Swim, send us 5 more.
Just line them up in one
maybe
tweet.
6.
We would like 5. 6 is extra credit.
CinéplexPodcast @gmail.com.
Thank you.
Or Twitter, hit us on Twitter at CinéplexPodcast.
Podcast.
Or you can go to Shrimp Klimsky's Facebook page and post
it's actually
some,
pretty great.
Some memes on there.
Mm-hmm.
He's
if you can,
really into that.
Mm-hmm. We're making t-shirts and all of them have Kyle's face on them and it says... Klimsky.
Are you actually doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we sell them at book club.
Book.
You've been selling those
/.
At book club?
Shrimpies.
All right, so go to book.com.
/. Shrimpies.
And you can buy your t-shirt.
I want to cut
promo code.
What's the promo code?
The promo code is Klimsker
Shrimpies. Spelt with 3 I's.
You know where.
You know how many S's already.
Mm-hmm.
I want a cut of whatever money you make off of this.
Good luck.
What is this? No. Prawn Stars?
The audience loves it.